In our time last week, we began looking at the idea of stewardship. And as we looked at that idea of stewardship last week, we emphasized the idea that we belong to God and how we have a responsibility in our stewardship of self. We need to recognize that we are God's. He's bought us. He created us. He provides for us. And everything we have and everything that we do is through Him, because of Him. And I think that was an important place to start in looking at this idea of stewardship, because if we don't first understand that God owns me, we're going to have a more difficult time recognizing and understanding that God owns my abilities. They are His. When we defined the term stewardship last week, we defined it as a steward being a trusted servant to whom the master has delegated responsibility in helping to promote his affairs. Responsibility is an integral part of the definition of steward. So stewardship is all about responsibility. We have to use that over which we've been given stewardship. Just as like we must use our body in a manner that is pleasing to the one who owns it, we have to do the same with our abilities. We read later in that parable that Brother Bill read for us this morning, in verse 26 and 27. His master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." That's from the English Standard Version. It uses terms a little different from the King James. But we all understand from the language that's used, as Brother Bill read for us this morning, that when he talks about talents, he's not talking about you being talented. He's talking about talents, units of money that he gave to these ones. In fact, one of the verses says he gave them according to their ability. And I know we've all heard sermons based upon this particular parable that seem to emphasize the idea of talents. And we're going to do that a little bit this morning, but I want us to understand, we know what Jesus is teaching here is that they were responsible for using their abilities to take care of their master's ownings, the things that belong to him, his affairs. They were rebuked because, this one was rebuked, I should say, because he didn't use his ability for his master. And those who received reward were rewarded because they did use their ability for the master. And I think that's an important thing for us to recognize. We're going to be rewarded or punished on whether we use our abilities for God. I know there's a lot of folks that don't like to hear that because that means that we're earning our way to heaven, they think. No, we're not. This lesson has nothing to do with earning your way to heaven. What it has to do with is recognizing the responsibility that you have and I have as a steward of God's blessings. And our abilities are a blessing from God. And when we talk about this idea of abilities, I want us to recognize that we're talking, and we normally think of those things that we have a knack for, those things we're really good at. But that's not the only abilities we have. There are some things that some of us are really good at, and we need to acknowledge those and use them in the right and proper way. But anything that we can do is an ability. When somebody says he is able, we're talking about he has an ability to do that. Walking is an ability. Waving is an ability. Some of those we don't think of very much as abilities, but they are. Closing a door as you leave a room is an ability. And I'm not going to say that everything we talk about this morning is going to apply to every single one of those little tiny abilities. But we do need to recognize that everything we can do should be regulated by our service to God. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 17, James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Here we read an emphasis on those good gifts, the perfect gifts, the things that we get from God, that He gives to us. They are from Him. And as such, they belong to Him. They're given to His stewards. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And oftentimes when we read this passage, we see that word gift there, and we automatically think, ooh, miraculous gifts of the Spirit. Must be what He's talking about. No. Now, they're not excluded. Every ability we have is a gift from God. Notice the two things He mentions. One who speaks. Yes, we can connect that with one who was inspired to speak the Word of God. But as we talked about in Bible class this morning, as the Word became more available, those sort of gifts were less and less important and needed. And if you remember, the Apostle Peter in one of his epistles wrote, I'm writing things to help you when I'm gone. I'm writing things so you know how to conduct yourself and what you're supposed to do from now on. And so, since we don't have miraculous gifts of the Spirit today, I think we need to read that gifts as abilities God's given us. The things God's given to us. That's what a gift is, isn't it? Things that somebody gave us. If He gave you the ability to speak, then speak as someone who speaks God's Word with the respect, the honor, the privilege, the understanding that one who is sent by God would have. And while we don't have a direct sent by God like Peter and Paul had, we are sent by God through the Word. One who serves. Wow, so many different ways we can look at that idea of serving. Serving the congregation, maybe serving as an elder or a deacon, or serving as a Bible class teacher or a preacher, serving as a song leader, or serving others in their home, going and helping those who are in need, going and assisting those who are sick. All kinds of ways that we can see that serving ability. And get back to what we talked about this moment, almost none of them would necessitate some sort of miraculous gift of the Spirit. But be as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Whatever you do, do it with God's strength. Why? Because you're using the ability that God has given you, whatever it may be. And in doing that, Peter says, God is glorified. I don't have Matthew chapter 5 up here, but doesn't that remind you of what Jesus said about letting our light shine? We go about doing what we're supposed to do. God is glorified from our deeds. Not all abilities are the same. As Brother Bill read for us in those verses this morning in our scripture reading, he gave to one servant five, he gave to another servant two, and he gave to another servant one, according to his ability. You know what that means? God doesn't expect us to do something that we can't do. He doesn't expect us to step in and take responsibility for some ability that we don't have. The man who got one talent was given one talent because that's all the master thought he could handle. And he didn't even handle that. Imagine what happened if he'd had five. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. We have referenced this passage in times past in regards to the work of the church. I want us to look at it this morning with an attitude of God-giving abilities. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, He ascended on high and led captive a host of men of captives, and He gave gifts to men. There's a parenthetical verse 9 and 10, but we want to drop down to verse 11. And He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Paul tells the Ephesian brethren that everybody has different gifts. God gave certain ones certain things, and they are to use those abilities for the purpose of growing the church, both knowledge and number, as possible. And as he continues there talking about the working together, I think he spreads it beyond just those things that he mentions there in verse 11. The apostles and prophets and teachers and elders and those things. And moves it to talk about every single person who is a part of the body of Christ. As the whole body works together, as every joint supplies, it's all working together for the purpose of edifying and building up the body. That means that every single member has a responsibility, and can't help but recognize responsibility has the word ability right there in it, which means we've got an ability that needs to be used in increasing the body, edifying and growing. We know elsewhere that the Apostle Paul talks specifically about there being honorable parts and dishonorable parts, or there being some parts that think they're not very important, but without them, their job doesn't get done. This image of a body, we recognize that there are varied abilities in our individual bodies. My pinky cannot do what my pointer finger can do. Even though they're both fingers, they can't do the same things. One thing, one's a little weaker than the other. One's a little bigger than the other. That means they're going to be different. The foot can't do what the eye can do. If you take away the nose, the hearing is not going to make up for that. See, everyone has an ability. Everyone's ability is different. But all belong to God. And we're responsible for how we use them. A couple of examples we find in the pages of the New Testament, in the book of Acts in particular. First off, we look at Barnabas. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, we first read of Barnabas as Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. And we read again in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26 and 27 of Barnabas, when he had come to Jerusalem, talking about Paul, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord whom spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Notice two things about Barnabas. He is an encourager, or son of consolation, I think some versions render that. And he is an intercessor. He has talents in that way. And it's because of those talents of being a comforter and an intercessor that the church at Jerusalem, the elders there, sent him to Antioch when they heard that Gentiles were obeying the gospel up there. Why? Because they'd already had their own problems between Gentiles and Jews, hadn't they? Barnabas being an intercessor, as he demonstrates by stepping in between the apostles and the church in Jerusalem and Paul, would be a good one to go up there and see how things were going. And we see that he was. He went and got Paul to help him, and they stayed there for a year or more, encouraging and strengthening the disciples. Barnabas had a knack for that sort of thing. Such that the apostles named him Barnabas instead of Joseph. Then we read of Apollos in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 24. Apollos, Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he finished, or when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus. Apollos was one who had knowledge. He had eloquent speech. He was bold in his proclamation of what he believed. When I look at Barnabas and Apollos, I see Barnabas as one who was probably a quiet, and I don't know this, there's nothing to really know for sure, but he was kind of a quiet man that was able to see both sides of things and get between folks and bring calmness and to bring groups together. And we see oftentimes that someone who is calm themselves and is able to speak quiet words. Then I see Apollos as one who was, he stood out. The boldness doesn't necessarily mean that he had a big mouth, but he wasn't afraid to use what he had. He wasn't scared. He wasn't skittish because he knew what he knew, and he was convinced of it, and he would not back down. But in addition to that, he had eloquence. Then a few times I read through this passage, I thought, man, I wish God had given me just a little bit of what he gave Apollos. Eloquence of speech. I mean, Brother John made mention this morning, sometimes folks have hard understanding me when I'm speaking English, and I know why that is. I recognize that. I'm a little rough in my speech. I don't have flowery words and fancy speeches. Now, I'm convinced there's a time and place for those things, and I can be profitable even though I'm a little rough in my speaking. But there's a difference in Barnabas and Apollos. That's what I'm emphasizing here. Barnabas, a quiet man, stepping in whenever needed, watching and seeing what's going on. Apollos here, ready to just jump in and speak what he has to say and make sure everybody can understand him well. A very educated background. Two different men, but doing the same thing. Working to preach the gospel. Apollos working in Ephesus and in Corinth and Achaia. Barnabas working in Cyprus and in the regions around about Asia with the Apostle Paul. Think of how beneficial Barnabas would have been with Paul as they went through those places in Asia where they were having to deal with the Jews and their reluctance, to put it mildly, to accept the Gentiles. An intercessor. Great benefit in that situation. Everybody has different talents, but all for the same purpose. All are working to use the things God has given them to spread the gospel. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian brethren regarding the spiritual gifts that they were having such trouble with, he basically said, part of your problem is you're jealous that somebody else can do something that you can't do. In chapter 12, verse 4 through 6, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Everyone's working together for the same cause. I mentioned, y'all have read some of my articles. They're just kind of plain Jane. Hope to get the point across, but there's no real fancy things involved in there. You've also read some of Doy Moyer's articles. And Doy's a little more educated and highbrow than I am. It's because he's got more education than me, probably. But both of us, even when we speak on the same subject, while it may come across completely different, our purpose is to teach the Word. And I'm not jealous of Doy's ability to speak fancy sentences and words. I get a little frustrated having to go through and figure them out sometimes. But he's doing the same thing I'm doing. And there are any number of other differences that we know. You can't be jealous of someone else's ability when they're using it for serving God. That's the problem that Paul was dealing with in Corinth. We're all working for the same cause. In Romans 12, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, although many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We're all working for the same thing. Our purpose is to please God in using the abilities He's given us. To be like that five-talent and two-talent man, that we take the things God has left into our care and we use them the best way we can to increase His purpose, not mine. And the Lord is pleased when we put forth a sincere, devoted effort to do that. Nobody says you have to be perfect at singing in order to lead singing. Nobody says you have to have excellent diction in order to teach class. You don't have to be a perfect cook in order to help somebody who needs some food because the family's sick. In Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 6, we want to read the story of the woman who anointed Jesus. There were many complaining about what she did. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." And in Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, "For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward." There's an important lesson here for us. It doesn't matter how small our contribution may seem to us, or does it matter whether we did things the way that others think we might should have done them. God is pleased that we're doing them for Him to the best of our ability. This woman was rebuked because she didn't sell that and give that funds to the poor. She just poured it out over Jesus. And Jesus said, you know what? She did what she could for me. Even if it's just giving a cup of water to somebody that's thirsty. When we understand that we are using what God has given us for His benefit, we recognize that God is pleased with what we're doing. Let's take some time and go back and look a little bit at that parable that Brother Bill read part for us. We're not going to read all of Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. I expect you've read it in the past, and I encourage you to go read it again. But one of the things that's emphasized in this parable is, look at verse 20. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents. Saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. I think there's a lesson there for us. Not that we need to take our money and put it in the bank so it can earn more interest and we can get more money. But that as we use our talents, as we use our abilities, I need to use that term instead of talents, as we use the abilities God has given us, we will increase in our abilities. Maybe we don't pick up on that when we read those passages. We look at that and say, hey, He's rewarding him with greater things. Part of what He's doing in that rewarding is acknowledging that this man, who was able to handle 5 talents, has demonstrated and grown to the point that he's now able to handle more. As we use our abilities, we grow in those abilities. I had a friend down in Texas where we worshiped there in Jasper. I remember right, Wilson passed away, Brother Adams passed away just not too long ago. But he had a little bit of ability in singing, but not very much. Now, by the time we got there, he was doing great. But he worked at getting better and better. It was something that he was interested in. It was something he saw he had some ability in. And so he worked at it. He went to singing schools. He studied a little bit on music. He got a pitch pipe and learned how to use it. He learned better how, so that he would be better in using the ability God had given him. He didn't start out that way. He grew into that. I got a brother the same way. If anybody asked me, y'all all know that me and Jeff and Tim and Dad all read singing to one degree or another, mainly because we're loud. But Jeff wasn't good at it. It didn't come naturally to him. And he worked at it. And I'll tell you right now, Jeff is a better song leader than any of the other 3 of us. Because he worked at it. He grew. I'll be honest. I was a song leader. I was able to lead singing. I didn't see any need to work at it a whole lot. I did all right. Did better than a lot of folks. Not as good as some. And so I didn't put a whole lot of effort into getting better. I learned a few things and grew a little bit. But I didn't increase like Jeff did. Now, I'm not saying he's the greatest song leader that's ever around. I don't know that he does a lot of it anymore. But because he applied himself, he could grow in that ability and increase it. And now he's gone beyond, he wouldn't admit it, I don't think, but he's gone beyond those who may have been better than him earlier. The point in that is to remind you that we can increase our abilities. We're not stuck where we're at. Can you pray? Well, yeah, all of us can pray. All of us pray to God. Do you work at getting better at prayer? Do you ever read articles or books that might help you with prayer? You ever considered listening to lessons that focus on prayer and some of the things we need to keep in mind in prayer, or some of the things we need to learn about prayer? And I know many of those are focused upon praying in the assembly, but they will even be of help in our own individual prayers. But if you're one who's able to pray and willing to pray in the assembly, you need to work at getting better at that. I'm not going to guarantee you you're ever going to get better. But if you don't work at it, you certainly won't get any better. Are you able to get up in front of a crowd and say 5 words without being scared and running back to your seat? Okay. Then do it. And do it more often. Because the more you do it, the more you practice it, the better you're going to get at it. Could talk about what we talked about practicing before services, but we won't go that far. Practice makes perfect. We'll go that far. The more we use our talent, the better we're going to be. It may be some infinitesimal, one in big words that means a little bitty tiny amount. And we may not even recognize it, but others probably will. They'll gradually see the change. We can develop and improve our abilities if we rely on God. James tells us that if we lack wisdom, we can ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If God will give us wisdom generously and without reproach, don't you think he's going to help us with the other abilities that we may have? If we pray to him and we put our trust and our hope in him. And understand, we've been talking about abilities that everybody thinks of. But it's not just those things that stand out. It's not just those things that we have a knack for. It's all the things that we can do. Can you cook? I don't know why that came to my mind first, but anyway, can you cook? You know, there are ways to use your ability to cook to help grow the brethren, encouragement and comfort, helping out the needy, assisting those that are having a hard time, just being there for someone, teaching. Whether it's teaching our children, teaching our neighbors, teaching one another, leading. You know, we need leaders. We need song leaders. We need prayer leaders. We need class leaders. We need church leaders. We need women leaders. Not the way the world says. We need women who are willing to lead other women by example and teaching, by giving their time to help them to understand. Isn't that what Paul's talking about over there when he talks about what older women are supposed to do for younger women? To lead them. And how to do their household, how to raise a family, how to serve God, how to help their husband, how to help their children. We need folks that can sing. We need folks that can pray. We need folks like Barnabas who can comfort and intercede. We need folks that can clean, folks that can repair, folks that can build, folks that can mow, folks that know flowers, folks that can clean a bad street. We need folks that can teach. We need folks that can encourage, send notes, write cards, mail letters, email, text. There are all sorts of ways in which we can grow the church. I don't know that I like that phrase, but that's what we're trying to do. Is increase the Lord's body. Not number-wise, but knowledge-wise. Faith-wise. If we increase knowledge and faith-wise, we'll increase overall. Even numerically. There are all sorts of ways that we can serve the Lord. And we need to make a point to use those abilities God has given us for Him. Whether that means using them in the assemblies and the Bible classes, or using them in our homes and amongst our brethren, and even amongst the people of the world. They belong to God. Imagine what kind of impact you might have on someone who's making it, just barely making it in their car quits working, and you happen to be able to go over there and assist and help them and get it to where their car works again so they can go to work tomorrow. They're going to remember you. You never know what that introduction might lead to in the manner of encouraging someone to listen to the Word of God. A smile to the cashier as you're checking out. A kind word. Speaking pleasant things rather than grumbling and complaining like we so often do. Word of encouragement. You never know what that might lead to in the long run. And these are all using our abilities. And we need to use them in a manner that promotes and increases God's Word. We'll get to those other two another time. I had them down there in case I needed to use some more time, in case I got through to the first one. Look down there at the bottom. That's where we are. Accountable. We're accountable. See, now you got a preview of what one of the other lessons on stewardship is going to talk about. We're accountable to God. The one who did not know, we read in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, and did not did what deserved a beating, will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Or Matthew 25:19, after a long time the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. We all have more abilities, probably, than we think we do. And God's going to hold us accountable for all of this. You know that even going and just sitting in someone's home and visiting with them for 15, 20 minutes, an hour, is an ability? Our willingness counts for a lot. Not our, well, I know I should do this, but I'm not going to do it right now. I'll probably do it later. But our, hey, this needs to be done. Let me get up and go do it to the best of my ability. Let me just get up and do what I can in regards to that. That's what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. For with the readiness, if the readiness is there, it is accountable, acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. If you are the poorest comforter that has ever walked the face of the earth, but you know someone needs comfort, and you go over and you do the best you can, God's happy. God's happy. That's what He wants. And you keep doing it, you'll get better at it. Because all things are to be done to glorify God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We belong to God. We're His. We're His because He created us, He provides for us, and more importantly, we are His because He bought us. That means He owns our abilities and needs and using them in His service, whatever they are.
And we'll add just one more little thing. You never know how well you will do something until you do something. Try it. You might be good at it. You're probably better than you think. Use your abilities for God. Maybe it's only an ability to help you introduce yourself to somebody in some manner or some way. Maybe it's an ability that will let you reach thousands. It doesn't matter. Use it for God. That's who we belong to. We've given our lives to Him. You know what we said? When we said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for my sins, we said, I am you. I'll give myself to you. And we were buried in baptism so that we might receive the remission of our sins, because we were obedient to the will of God and accepted His gracious offer of salvation. And then because of our belief in Him, we continue to live for Him. Right? Maybe you didn't do that. You're still His. But there's no benefit to you, because you're not in His family. That you need to be in His family through obedience to God. Or maybe you did that and you're not continuing to serve God. You've not stayed devoted to Him. Your faith has slipped. Or your dedication has slipped. And you recognize that this morning, you need to get that right with God. John tells us, if we would pray to God, confessing our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, wipe them away as if they have never been. Jesus intercedes on our behalf so that can happen. If you recognize this morning you have sin in your life, get corrected. You need to be added to the family of God, you're here ready. The baptistry is awaiting. If you need to come back to the Lord confessing sins, and we can assist you with that, time and opportunity is yours. Come, always stand and sing for you.